You know, Intapp is over 20 years old, and it's really just been in the last 2 to 3 years where we've had really a strong Microsoft partnership, and probably the last 18 months where it's become very significant.
Welcome to TBR Talks, decoding strategies and ecosystems of the globe's top tech firms, where we talk business model disruption in the broad technology ecosystem, from management consultancies to systems integrators, hyperscalers to independent software vendors, telecom operators to network and infrastructure vendors, and chip manufacturers to value-added resellers. We'll be answering some of the key intelligence questions we've heard from executives and business unit leaders among the leading professional IT services and telecom vendors. I'm Patrick Heffernan, Principal Analyst, and today we'll be talking about the long view of selling technology with Richard Herman, Vice President of Sales, Accounting and Consulting Vertical at Intapp. Rich, thank you very much for coming on TBR Talks. This is a huge honor, I got to say. From my perspective, it's great to have people I know really well. And I don't mean that in a bad way to anybody that I've talked to in the past, but this is really cool. So we've known each other at least since 2008 or 9.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. And I'm saying all that as a way of letting everyone know this conversation is going to be about long-term trends in technology, not just the hype that we've seen over the last few years around AI. And that's kind of what the theme is for this season of TBR Talk. So let's dive into it. You first give us a little bit of your background. I know you, but let everybody else find out who you are.
Well, it's funny you said that, because when you invited me to have this session a few weeks ago, I started scribbling some notes like us old timers, where we scribble things on a piece of paper still sometimes. So maybe that's one of the first transformational things to talk about in a funny way. I was like, oh my God, I've been doing this long. And there have been so many different trends that when you've been in, my specialty has always been around running and managing complex enterprise software sales into professional services firms, by and large, now through multiple technological errors.
Right.
It was originally mainframe. Yes, mainframe. Then moved into mid-range. Mm-hmm. Then moved into client server. And then, you know, with a mobile angle, and then cloud, and then SaaS cloud, and then vertical SaaS cloud, and then, and AI actually has been filtered in across, maybe going back 20 years, but, and now agentic. So it's like, I don't know what's next, but it's crazy how quick 20 years goes in a career sometimes.
Right. Well, so let's start with that then. So the technology has changed, but there have to be elements of the sales motion, the sales cycle, the way you sell, and actually managing a sales team that probably hasn't changed, right? Kind of all still the same in that way? Or what's different now than the way you used to manage a team?
I think there's absolutely changes. And I think part of the change also is certainly different from organization to organization, and the discipline that an organization has, and sometimes the types of products that you're selling. If you're a software company that's maybe bootstrapped or venture capital backed with one product, how you might run a sales process could be very different than a publicly held organization with a portfolio of products and a portfolio of clients that maybe you're moving off of on-prem to cloud. So no, I think there's definitely different types of discipline and experience I've seen over the years.
Yeah. And the firm you're with now is selling, like you said, a portfolio of products, right? Not just one.
That's correct. Yeah. I'm with a publicly traded software company called Intapp out of Palo Alto, California. And we provide a platform, really more a suite of products to the world's largest professional services firms to help them grow faster and run a more efficient, you know, professional firm, which is under tremendous pressure.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Because so at TBR, my practice is professional services. So within the technology space. So we don't look at law firms, and which I know are some of your clients.
Sure.
But what we are seeing is this, there's always the talk about the managing the talent, you know, how do you recruit and retain and develop and mature your own talent. And the consultancies in particular have always had an apprenticeship model. That's that base layer. AI is eating away at that base layer, but there's an awful lot of people who have had long careers who are looking to, you know, extend those careers or at least do more in the technology space before they're done. But everything is collapsing around them in terms of the talent structure, the pyramids, so what do you see? I know we're supposed to talk about the long-term view, but what do you see coming next for services firms in particular?
There's multiple major pressures on their business model. Mm-hmm. So onshore versus offshore.
Yep.
How do you monetize AI? How do you charge for it or not charge for it? Mm-hmm. Is it as accurate as what the human provides? How do you layer in handling the client when AI is possibly doing the work?
Right.
Maybe offshore to Vietnam or India or, you know, wherever the right. offshore partner may right. be. Yet some of the basics of human behavior of handling the client and growing the client and solving the client's problem are human
right.
processes that probably haven't changed that much, except the buyer of those services is extraordinarily more educated and is not as loyal, arguably, as they were years ago.
All right. So the people that you're selling to now, that mm-hmm. persona has changed a lot in the last 15 years? Is it just that the buyer has become more educated about technology, or the buyer has become a different persona within the enterprise?
I don't think the persona of the buyer has dramatically changed. Mm-hmm. If you are in a large Fortune 100 corporation or in a growing mid-market, you have to buy legal services or advisory right. services or technology integration services, you know, whatever product may be from the outside services provider. So I don't think the personas of the chief operating officer, or the chief legal officer, or the chief transformation officer have changed that much.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But so in your experience in terms of actually building teams and selling to those people, the motions you're going through, the sales cycles, all that is very familiar to what it's been for a long time, or how much?
No,
has that
I think changed? I think the business of selling enterprise software yeah. and how you find talent and build talented teams and the tools that we use and the processes that we take to run a very long, expensive sales process are definitely more mature
yeah.
and different than years ago. Yeah. You know, there's global teams that cover an account. We're using all sorts of different, you know, AI tools.
Right. Right.
You know, our clients are expecting us to show up to a meeting highly educated on them.
Right.
Understanding their problem deeply, usually at the first meeting.
Right.
Perhaps.
Right.
Right. Right?
Yeah. And that's a change from before, yes. where it used to be that's what you did. You used the first couple meetings for was yeah. the get to know you kind of thing.
Yeah. So. You can't show up to a major prospective yeah. pursuit
yeah.
and say, hey, tell me about your business and tell me about your yeah. problem. No, no, no. You've got to come in already with,
yeah.
I'm not going to say best practices, but best ideas. This right. is what we are seeing and so forth.
And why it matters to you and all that. So, yeah.
yeah.
So Intapp's built on Azure, right?
Intapp, yes. We are a significant Microsoft partner.
Yeah.
All of our products are on the Azure platform now. They haven't always been.
Right. Yes. So how about in terms of across the ecosystem? Like, do you go to market with Microsoft?
Absolutely.
Okay. And yes. how much so, you, again, to I keep harping on the idea that you've been around a long
yeah.
time, but we're the
yeah.
same age. How much has that changed where maybe previously you didn't go to market with a technology partner as much? Or has it always been kind of an
no,
ecosystem play?
You know, Intapp is over 20 years old, and it's really just been in the last 2 to 3 years where we've had really a strong Microsoft partnership, and probably the last 18 months where it's become very significant.
Right.
You know, and a lot of that has been because we've been trying to transform legacy on-premise clients to go to the cloud, you know, as the market goes to the cloud. And Microsoft is a fantastic partner because
yeah.
they benefit when clients are on Azure.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. It
spins the meter, doesn't it?
Yes, it yeah. does. Yeah. Yes. As does their sales organization.
Yeah. So how do their salespeople know what Intapp does well?
We have a whole partnership and go-to-market with the partnership channel.
Yeah.
We have over 100 different partners at Intapp for different pieces of our portfolio.
Right. Okay.
And so we have a whole partner ecosystem that manages that. But the sales organization, if the seller on the Intapp side wants to handle, I'll just make up a name, you know, Deloitte.
Right.
We will align with the Deloitte Microsoft sales
right.
team.
Okay.
And make sure that we are aligned to properly handle
right.
the problems that Deloitte needs resolved.
Right.
right? So there's in the field, you know, in the trenches,
yeah.
relationships and coffee meetings and co-selling and working on things
yeah.
together to bring the right solution to that Deloitte or whoever it may be.
And how often are the people that are the Microsoft people that are in charge of the Deloitte account, how often are those people selling you rather than you having to sell you? And I'm asking that for a very specific reason. That is what we see is the most successful way to get your stuff sold, is to have your ecosystem partner be the one that's telling your story.
Well, Intapp is roughly a $600 million company.
Yeah.
Microsoft's a little bit bigger than us.
A little bit, yeah.
And their global sales organization is a little bit bigger than us. And a lot of their, you know, key account executives might handle 20 or 30 accounts. Mm. So we have to sometimes find them and chase them. But usually once you build that relationship and they understand we can solve this problem for your client, again, just using Deloitte as a name.
Yep. Yep.
If we can solve that problem for Deloitte around XYZ, then they will really interact with you more frequently. Unfortunately, Microsoft will often change their sales organization every year. There's a lot of flipping of those territories and things, which does hurt continuity. But aside from that, we find them, they find us. It's a little bit of it's a little bit of both.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Deloitte for a minute. That's where I was when we met. I was with Deloitte way back, a long time ago. But if I had to look at Deloitte and the big four firms and sort of say what's been happening with them over the last 20 years, I can go and, you know, my own little shorthand for Deloitte is more like Accenture now than the rest of the big four, and, you know, where PwC is, blah, blah, blah. But fundamentally, they haven't changed. Their partnerships, they're still managed the same way, run the same way. There's changes at the margins. The technology has certainly made a huge difference in the way, and Deloitte's operate is definitely a very separate business from what they used to do. All of that's true, but at the same time, fundamentally, they are still the same beasts. And yet, we both think that there's a lot of change that's coming for them and coming very fast, because the whole professional services space, including the big four firms, have got to change with... You mentioned agentic. I mean, that's the digital FTEs that are coming on board. How do you manage that? What do clients think when they say, you know, I'm getting consulting advice, but am I getting ChatGPT fed through a consultant? What exactly am I getting for my consulting dollars? So when you look at sort of the Deloitte and the consulting firms that you sold to 15 years ago, and then you think, where are those firms going to be in 5 years? Do you see the next 5 years being just a real sea change in those companies that we won't, or firms we won't see in the same way?
That question is probably best answered by someone from the big four, but
give me your best answer. I mean,
you're definitely seeing the big four have gone, you know, with Ernst Young and the Everest transaction or lack of transaction 2 years ago. You're seeing the big four with you know, 152 member firms.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see they're reorganizing into clusters.
Yep.
Seeing that, especially over in Europe, where they're pulling together 10, 15, 20 countries and have an operating committee to possibly react faster and scale faster and leverage low costs across European countries.
Right.
So you're definitely seeing some of that. I think probably more importantly driving that is the next layer down below the big four and other consultants, not just in audit, tax, advisory, but across other consulting firms, is the influx of private equity.
Yeah.
Private equity in the last several years has found a sweet spot and a nice business model in the professional services sector, and it's going crazy in the accounting sector right now.
Yep.
And it's getting even more greater traction in the consulting sector because they're sort of stable businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't go too high, they don't go too low. And then there's a lot of partnership models where younger folks don't want to wait till they're 48 to really...
Right.
get some kind of an exit.
Right.
So I think the private equity impact layered in with all of the AI revolution, it's the big four and some of the real big firms are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Does it not change, vulnerable, but I mean...
No, vulnerable. I think vulnerable is the right word. Does it change your approach at all in the sense of, like, do you look at, let's use Grant Thornton as an example. So private equity owned now. And the private equity firm that owns them has other portfolio companies. So if Grant Thornton becomes or is a client, do you look at that as saying, okay, now I can work with the Iron Mountain? Who the heck owns?
New Mountain Capital.
New Mountain Capital. So you look at New Mountain and say, okay, now they have a portfolio of companies that's an entree for me to go talk to the rest of their companies. Is that opening up for you or no?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All day long.
That's beautiful, right?
The
relationship's built, so.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And you have to understand the private equity investor. and what is their style of management, and you know, and what is their time horizon on that portco?
Right.
You know, are they in the fourth year of what's potentially a fifth year holding, or are they in the first year? And you know, are they investing into mid market consultancies? Are they investing into large globals?
Yeah.
Are they trying to do roll ups? I mean, there's really a lot. So you have to understand that professional services firm. And then you have to understand the investor and their time horizon and what their strategy is.
Yeah.
And you have to have relationships on both sides of the table, because it does come together in a cohesive family, quite frankly. You're trying to help the private equity firm maximize their investment. There's a lot of moving parts there.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, and I'm glad you mentioned sort of the people element to it too. Like, one of the appeals of private equity is that, like you were saying, you know, you can reach a kind of financial payout sooner than waiting to become a partner within a member firm. And then also, you know, reaching that partner status where it actually is, you know, financial. It's a change in the way that those companies need to think about themselves. That's why vulnerable, I think, was the right word.
And quite frankly, and some of those professionals in that portco now, if they're perhaps younger, let's say they're 33 or 34, knowing that these flips take 4, 5, or 6 years, that young 35-year-old could get a small benefit of a flip right now.
Yeah.
And then he can get 2 or 3 or 4 more flips in his career.
Yeah.
He actually can be extremely successful when there's multiple flips, assuming your firm is good and effective and the exits and the economies pay out.
Right. Provide they're well run. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that whole piece of the market is very different from what you saw, you know, in your career going along back, you know, 20
absolutely
years ago. Right.
Yeah.
So let's,
I mean, it was just tech companies got venture capital.
Right.
Or the KKRs did the biggest buyouts and leveraged huge PE to do that. You didn't see a $160 million boutique consultancy out of Washington, D.C., taking $50 million of private equity to do some roll-ups.
It's amazing how much that's changed. Yeah. So because you've been doing this for a long time, you've been working with lots of different companies in the technology space.
Yes.
Some of them, like the big four firms, have been around forever and will be around forever, no matter how vulnerable they're going to be. But there are a lot of companies that, to me, it's surprising they're still around in a way. Like IBM has gone through so many transformations.
Right.
SAP, who people often complain about how hard they are to work with, they're still around. You know, so a lot of these companies, yes, they've had the spinoffs. The, you know, DXC was created the way it was created. Kyndryl was their own special thing. But are there any companies you think back to, okay, I worked with this company 20 years ago, either as a client or, you know, they were in the technology space with me, they were in the software space, and they're still around, and that surprises you?
Nothing comes to mind on that question. I think what's maybe a little bit more interesting is those firms that seemed so slow or so staid, how quickly they're actually changing right now. We at Intapp, we service several thousand professional services firms.
Yeah.
And, you know, we clearly are seeing faster acknowledgement of what's happening right now.
Right.
Whereas before, I think they felt they could be a laggard and it wouldn't really hurt them.
Mm.
We don't need to embrace A, B, or C because we are a big prestigious firm, whether it be tech consulting or someone else. I think now they're,
So in that way, I guess maybe the last 5 years of technology and AI has had more of a catalyzing effect than maybe anything that's come before.
I think more than the last 18 months.
18 months. Okay.
I actually think a lot of organizations were a little bit lagging on the front end. I think they're really seeing it now.
Right. Right. And is adoption, are you seeing AI adoption across enterprises, or is it still more within certain pieces of the companies that you're working with, at certain sectors of the companies?
Yes. I would say it probably in the last 2 years, we saw it more around specific use cases in a practice group or line of business, skunk works projects, kicking the tires and testing.
Yep.
I would say in the last 2 years, it was people are trying to figure it out. It was only the more aggressive, more innovative disruptor, you know, guy or gal, you know, executive sponsor trying to change something in a line of business. But now in the last 6 to 12 months, we are seeing corporate mandates across the firm to where can we really start leveraging this and figuring this out.
Yeah, I was at I was at an event last summer with KPMG, and one of the speakers was talking about how adoption comes when you have the leaders, the lab, and the masses. So leadership has to be all on board with AI.
Yep.
You need the masses. You need everybody experimenting with it, playing with it, getting comfortable with it, getting used to it. And then you need the lab. You need the people that are actually like, all of that's great, how we apply it in our business.
Yeah.
What we actually do with it. So,
and all of the investment from all the LLMs right now, it's, if there was any question a year or two ago, is this stuff here to stay? That has been answered.
Yeah.
And now it's about how do we change our organization?
Yeah. So looking ahead 5 years, do you see, I mean, of course, you're going to tell me that Intapp is going to grow. No doubt it's going to, of course. Okay. But do you see yourself staying in the same kind of role with that organization? Or, I mean, because clearly you like doing what you do.
Yeah.
You're good at it. So you're going to keep doing it for a while?
Yeah. I mean, I really, truly enjoy the team that I lead, the team that I report up to and work underneath. I love the clients. You know, I love the challenges. They have got to transform their business, you know, and so us helping them and being a trusted, you know, vendor supplier partner,
right,
and bringing them ideas and having these top firms challenge us and all of the agentic pivots that we are also making, you know, how that can help a firm for the next 5 years is pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, we've, as technology business research, we've changed a lot just in the last couple of years. I mean, we're providing feeds to some of our clients to just ingest all of our stuff right into their own small language models, just taking all of our data, all of our analysis. I mean, that's something that we didn't do it a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Now we're doing, and we're also on our own using a lot more tools to say, okay, we can do things a lot faster because we don't need to scrape the way we used to scrape. You know, the research is quicker.
Yeah. You know, of the global economy across all of the major economies, the professional services sector is roughly 3% of commerce.
Right.
From the statistics that we tend to
believe
and announce.
Yeah.
It's on our corporate presentations and so forth. So 3% of the world supplies incredible professional services for the corporations to run commerce.
Right?
Could be IT consulting projects, investment banking fees,
management consulting,
leverage buyout deals, all of the things combined, all of those sectors combined. The question is, can agentic and other related technologies allow those firms to grow and run more profitably without necessarily doubling their workforce?
Right. Well, that's the Accenture story. I mean, Accenture has grown all these years, and a lot of it has been through M&A, but their headcount didn't stop growing until just recently, and then it started growing again.
Yeah.
So people bodies are still the answer to services. It's still a people business. Yeah. I want to run one thing by you, and then I got one last question, because again, you've been in this technology space a long time. We have a little bit of a mantra that, you know, the technology is never the problem. It's always the people. The people are the problem. I mean, would you agree that's what you've seen over all the times that you've helped companies install software and that you've helped them with transformations, that the tech always works? It's just the people that are the problem.
Yeah, I would say absolutely. I cannot tell you how many clients we have in a sector, sometimes in the same building. We're on the third floor. This organization is world-class usage, deployment, value, you name it. It's a fantastic client.
Yeah.
Six floors up, the exact same software for the same price with the same scope of work is struggling.
Right.
You know, is it the people? Is it the leadership?
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely truth in human behavior has to change.
Yeah.
What's the culture of that firm? Do they take on technology to improve their business? Do they fight it?
Yeah.
You know, and you and I, we know we've got children that we raise, and I'm always challenging my kids, like, don't fight this stuff. No, like, embrace it, leverage it, learn it, pivot, change, get your nose bloody.
Yep.
It's the same thing in organizations.
Yeah. And again, that answer just cements for me even more that services is and will always be a people business, because you don't solve that problem by just throwing more technology at it. You solve it through people.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Last question. So
sure.
When you were 22 years old, was a little while ago.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Throw your mind back. Yep. Can you Because I can't imagine that when you were 22, you thought to yourself, in however many years, decades from now, what I really want to be doing is selling software and sitting in the TBR studio talking. So what was your, because, and I'm, the other reason I'm asking this, and you know my daughter Maeve and your son Beck, they're right at that age. They're 22.
Yeah.
And so I look at her and I think, what is she going to be doing by the time she's my age?
Yeah.
And what does she imagine that's going to be like? And what does she want to do now? So what was 22-year-old Rich Herman thinking? This is what I'm going to do when I'm in my 50s.
I think I got half of it right.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I knew at a pretty young age, like probably in my teenage years, and then going, I went to Northeastern and going through Northeastern at a co-op program, I always really liked the professional aspect of selling.
Okay.
Business development and selling. I knew that was something I liked, I gravitated towards, and that was a big part of my career selection. In no way, shape, or form did I ever think it would be related to software for professional services and, right, and so forth. Right. So yeah, if I had to do that over again, I probably would definitely select maybe something more exciting than that. You know,
like what? What could possibly be more exciting to sell?
You know, maybe advertising. Maybe investment banking, where you're buying and selling big companies and for huge fees.
Right. Right. That's pretty good, though. If you knew it, if you knew at 22 you wanted to do sales, and now you're running, a sales organization. That's great.
Fair enough. So, okay. Yeah, and that's maybe why I'm passionate about the business, and so forth.
Yeah.
Not just professional services, but you know, but I feel blessed being able to kind of have a career that spans some of those big technological waves that we have enjoyed in America and the world the last 20 years is insane.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
How, if you just think of like Netflix and Uber, you just think of like the fact that you can get off an airplane at LaGuardia or O'Hare, put on your phone,
you bring me
to 122 State Street and for $49 it goes to your M. Like it's just, it's insane how these different, you know, technology products and services have come so fast. Like what is going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years?
Yeah. And it's amazing. And you know, we don't have flying cars yet.
Right.
But on the other hand, you get in a car and you know, the podcast that you want to listen to is right there for you.
Yeah.
The directions tell you, you know, don't go this way, go this way. And it's always right.
Yeah.
It even knows, I swear my Google Maps app knows when I'm driving. And the time is shorter than when Maureen is driving.
And
the same exact distance. It's like, how does it know I'm in the driver's seat?
I haven't done the Waymo thing yet.
Yeah. I haven't ridden in one yet either, but I can't see it coming to Boston. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Never going to be in Boston. Too many cow paths. Yeah. Rich, thank you so much for coming in. This has been really fantastic. Yeah, thanks so much.
I've been told I've got a face for radio, so this is
it. Beautiful. Thanks, Rich. Next week, I'll be speaking with Boz Hristov about our recent travel with Infosys, PwC, Salesforce, and Fujitsu. Don't forget to send us your key intelligence questions on business strategy, ecosystems, and management consulting through the form in the show notes below. Visit tbri.com to learn how we help tech companies, large and small, answer these questions with the research, data, and analysis that my guests bring to this conversation every week. Once again, I'm your host, Patrick Heffernan, Principal Analyst at TBR. Thanks for joining us and see you next week.